All right, well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalm 147, and I'm going to pray as we get started. Tell you what, as we read the scriptures, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get lost when I'm reading the scriptures. Like, as someone else is reading it, it's hard for me to focus on, when they're reading it, what it's actually saying. And so my wife last night, I was telling her about what I was going to read. It's 11 verses. It's in Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11. If you want to, she said, you know, she's like, sometimes it helps me to close my eyes. So you don't have to do that, but if that's helpful to you, to be able to concentrate on God's word, go ahead and do that. All right, so I'm going to read, and then we'll pray. So it goes like this, Psalm 147, it says, "Praise the Lord." And actually, with that, just real quick, a little something on that one. That phrase right there actually says in the Hebrew, it says, "Hallelujah, Yahweh." I love that, right? It just starts off with, "Hallelujah, Yahweh," you know? I love that. All right, so let's say, "Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars, and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure, his delight, is not in the strength of the horse, nor is his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." Amen. God, we just thank you this morning for your grace in our lives, for your unfailing love for us, for the praise and worship that filled this room this morning. How sweet it is to praise you, God. How great it is to sing songs to you. How fitting it is, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to us this morning about the great things you've done in our lives and about the great thing you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, all right. So Christmas is you know, coming past, hopefully, you know, I don't know, you had a great Christmas. My kids, like, love Christmas to death, and, you know, it was a lot of fun. But now we're coming to the time of year where we think about resolutions, right after Christmas. And so maybe that's been going on in your mind a little bit, thinking back on 2018, thinking about what you're going to do in 2019. What are you going to do different? Or maybe you've thrown out resolutions altogether. Like, I just never do them anyways. I don't even think about them anymore. I just go right into the next year. I don't even care. But the psalm is going to tell us a little bit about how we ought to leave the next couple days. As we leave 2018, how we ought to leave it, and how we ought to go into 2019. So how we ought to leave 2018, what we ought to do the next 3 or 4 days. Was it 3 days? And what we ought to do going into 2019. Should we have resolutions? Should we do something different? All right, so the first few verses, or first really verse, it tells us right from the beginning, the psalmist tells us, and you know, a psalm was written by a person who probably was older, and especially for ancient Israel. So often the psalmist, from what we can tell, were at least 30, if not closer to probably 60 or something like that, which I think is really fascinating given the amount of emotion that is in psalm, because what is a common thing to happen is that as time goes on is to become less emotional and more apathetic, more in the rhythms of life and just kind of doing what you're supposed to do, and emotion can kind of fade from us. But if we look at the psalmist, it seems like their praise and emotion grows over time. It doesn't fade, and they're encouraging us to do the same. And so a lot of psalms, there's kind of two formats in psalms, generally speaking. There's the lament and then the praise, you know, like, things are really bad, but by the end, praise God. And sometimes it's just a verse, like, things are really bad, 15 verses, and then 16th verse, but praise the Lord. But this psalm is not like that. It's the other version of psalm, which is just straight on, full on praise. And that's what we're going to be looking on. And so if you look at the first verse, it says, "Praise the Lord," right? It goes, "Hallelujah, Yahweh." Hallelujah, Yahweh. I love that. "How good it is to sing praises to our God," which is a different, this doesn't say, again, hallelujah, Yahweh. It says just praise, and actually says Elohim. And so how pleasant and fitting it is to praise him. So three times we see praise come up here. And so praise is defined, it's supposed to be the warm, heartfelt admiration towards something, right? When you praise somebody, you talk about, it's actually something that just pops out of your heart, that jumps out of your heart. It's something you don't have to like muster up. You know, if somebody did something really nice for you, maybe they threw you like a surprise party, you know, and some of you hate surprise parties, so that would be the worst, right? But if you like surprise parties, or for Christmas time, somebody was really thoughtful and got you that exactly that special gift, and you know, you're like, gosh, how did you even think about me that way? Like, that is so sweet that you considered me, you thought through the things I like. You know, I used to always give people gifts that I thought I would want, right? So, especially if I thought maybe it might come back to me, you know? Like, they were like, oh, you can just take it. I'm like, all right. Anybody have any gifts like that? Like, somebody thought about you, like, really thought about you? And now you guys are, like, sitting beside people, right? You got to raise your hand, like, who gave you a gift? Now, Tyler, what'd you get? Your wife? Your wife? She got you a book. Okay, I didn't know if she like wrapped herself in. Okay, yeah, like surprise, it's me. Yeah, where's Gene? I don't know. Look, there's something moving under the Christmas tree though. Let's go see. She got you a book. Yeah, she got you a book. That's awesome. That's right. So someone who thinks about you in those ways, right? And she praise. He's heaping on praise because of what she did for him. And so this is supposed to be that kind of praise. And he says it three times because he wants us to get into the space of praise right from the beginning. And as we're leaving 2018, that's what we ought to be towards God. We can't praise God enough. He's done a brilliant job in our lives. That's how we ought to feel. And it ought to produce a song. You know, you ought to find yourself singing to the Lord sometimes. And I know some of you guys don't sing, and that's okay. And maybe you do it different ways. Maybe you just talk to the Lord and say how great he is. But it actually, if you're touched enough by something somebody does for you, it will produce an emotional response. And one of the highest emotional responses you can have is to sing, right? And so that's why he's encouraging us. It is fitting to sing to him. It is fitting to praise him. And so as you leave 2018, you ought to leave on a tidal wave of praise carrying you into 2019. Do you feel that way? Is praise springing up from your heart? It's heartfelt, warm, genuine, not just willful, not just religious, force of habit. Is real praise coming out of your mouth on a regular basis? When's the last time you made a song to the Lord? Or found yourself singing to him? Or just found yourself thanking him? Found yourself with words and excitement towards God? Maybe it's been a while since you sung a song to him. Maybe it's been a while since you've been zealous for the things of the Lord. Or for coming to church and singing praise. And it ought not to be like that, according to the psalmist. We ought to be singing hallelujah, Yahweh, right, as we go into the new year and every day. And while since it was a choice, it's been a while since our duty was really a choice. You know, here's the thing. This room is more than likely full of people who do the right thing. Right? You're here at church on the least attended day of the year, okay? All right, so there's that. And then the other thing is, so you probably, that's called orthopraxy. You do the right thing. I'm looking about a bunch of people who probably are going to check the right box on doing the right thing. Then the other thing is, you probably believe the right things. Again, if you're in here this morning, the chances of you making it for the narrow gate of coming to church 2 days before New Year's Eve, very narrow, you're here, right? And so you made it. And so you've done the right thing. And you probably believe the right things, like you believe correctly. And that's orthodoxy. But what might be missing in your life is orthopathy, which is the right emotion towards God. And that's what the Psalms are all about, having the right emotion towards God. Where it's not just the right belief, it's not just the right action I do, it's the right emotion. And the truth of the matter is, that's a little harder to generate, isn't it? It's a little easier for some of us to willfully do the right thing or for us to believe the right thing. But when it comes to the right feeling, how do we do that? And that's what the psalmist is saying you ought to have. He's not talking about the right belief. He's not talking about the right action. He's talking about the right feeling. So how do we get that into our lives? Well, the psalmist is going to tell us how to do that, how to have excitement towards God, how to have tons of praise, where he can't say, in basically two verses, he can't stop talking about praise. Praise God, hallelujah, Yahweh, right? And it keeps going on. And the Psalms are like that. And so it should be like that in your life on a daily basis. So how do we get the right feeling? Well, the psalmist is going to tell us three things that we need to do in 2018 to leave 2018 with the right feelings, with praise on our lips. So the psalmist says three things. The next verses tell us what to do. The first thing we need to do, let's look at verse 2, is the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He says, okay, if you're having a hard time praising, look how the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He says, look at that. Reflect on what that means. Think on what that means. He is building up Jerusalem. Okay, so in the ancient, when this was written, Jerusalem's walls would often come down as offenders, you know, people who are trying to take over Israel. It's Jerusalem's the capital, so of course they go to the capital, and they start smashing Jerusalem's walls, and they take them down, and then all the bad guys, so to speak, would flood into Jerusalem and take over the capital, right? And what this is saying is that God builds up his walls of Jerusalem. But listen to this, and we'll talk about how this applies to us in a second. The word there, builds, is the imperfect verb, which just means it's a continual action. It's something God is always doing in your life. He's constantly building up the walls. As long as you're alive in this life, Jerusalem is going to have enemies at the gates. They're going to be coming in, enemies of sin and self-love, enemies from your own heart. They're going to come in, and they're going to cause destruction to you and the relationships around you. Right? And that's part of living in between the ages, in between when Christ was resurrected and when he comes back. Now, when he comes back, the walls will never fall again in your heart. And that's supposed to be analogous somewhat to your life, is that if you feel like constantly like, oh, I was doing pretty good, and I fell again, that's actually in line with what the Psalms say your life is like. God is going to continually have to build up the walls in your life. Okay? And so, does that make sense? So in other words, the psalmist says, get your eyes not on all the walls that are torn down in your life, all the things that are not going right, the self-love and the self-righteousness and the pride and the wrong motive and the wrong emotion. Don't have your focus on there. The psalmist says, turn your eyes onto where he is building the walls up in your life, to the points where he is making you more like him. So how do you do that? Well, you look back the last 2 years, 3 years maybe even, and say, where do I have victory now that I didn't 2 years ago? Where do I have life now that I didn't have 2 years ago? So rather than focusing on all the things that are going wrong or the self-love in your heart or the sin in your heart and saying, I'm just going to look at that, God says, get your eyes off of what you're doing wrong and get your eyes on what I'm doing right. And so then, look at this wall. Look at this great thing. You were so anxious 2 years ago, but look at you now. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding that guards your heart. And maybe that's not you. Maybe you're like, I'm an anxious wreck, you know? But maybe you're like, look back at 2 years ago, I was more of a gossip, if I'm being honest with myself, right? Like, I used to talk about people behind their back quite a bit, and now I find myself not wanting to engage in those conversations. Look what the Lord is doing. Look at the walls he's raised up in my life. Or maybe there's fear. I have a good friend of mine, and a few years ago, she was frightened out of her mind about evangelism, like would literally run away from it, right? If we're going to do evangelism, which some of you would be like, yes, I will run with her, okay? And then 2 years later, she does more evangelism than anybody I know. And you look at that wall, and you don't get your eyes on all the things that, oh, I'm not doing, but it's like, look what the Lord is doing. Look at him. Look what he's doing in my life. And that's what this verse is supposed to put your attention to, the things that he's continually doing. It also says he gathers the exiles. So maybe at one point you didn't know Christ, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, and now he's brought you into the family. And to some degree, we're all in exile a little bit, right? We're becoming more in Christ. He's bringing us closer to him over time, less of a loner, more part of him and his community, and letting the walls down of vulnerability and letting other people in around us. And we're becoming more like him, more united in him, and more loving towards those he's called us to. Or maybe he's healed you in some way, like some real way. Maybe it's physical. You can look back on that 2 years ago. Gosh, I forgot about this, but I was struggling with a medical thing. And then God did something amazing. I was thinking, I was praying this for my kids, and I've kind of since forgotten the wall he built here in my family's life. That was now. I remember that was a real struggle a few years ago. And see, the psalmist is getting our attention on the things that God has done and continues to do, not on what we do, but on what he has done. Do you see that? All right, and that produces praise in your heart. You find yourself, oh, thank you, Lord. I was like that, and now I'm like this. You know, sometimes I experience this more, and maybe you do around the holidays. You know, you get around people, maybe like it's some distant family member, and then you get around them, and you're like, gosh, had it not been for the grace of God, where would I be? I'd be just like them in every way. And that's not me being a better person and more righteous and choosing. That's God choosing me and building these walls up, making my life good, making my heart flourish. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Why'd you save me? Why'd you save me? I mean, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And then he's gathering you to himself, it says. He's healed you and he's giving you new friendships. You have friendships you didn't have a couple years ago. They're starting to flourish. They're starting to grow. Think about that. God is at work. Get your eyes on his work. Okay, and that'll produce praise. That'll produce praise. All right, so just take a second. Look, this is going to be interactive. Take a second. There's only, you know, that's faithful, not few, but faithful group of people. Why don't you just take a second, and on your phone or whatever, what's one thing over the last 2 years you can say, I can praise God for? I see that he has grown me in this way. All right, just take a second and write that down. And I can give you some more examples as maybe you're having a hard time thinking of some. You find yourself less frustrated at work, more content in your life, less likely to yell at your kids, quicker to forgive. Yeah, that's some other ones. So, but go ahead and write something down. Reflect for a second. What is one way he has really built me up over this last year especially, but maybe 2 years if you need more time? Something significant. All right. So anyone have a big one they want to share? I'm going. Anybody have one they want to share? Like, I know in the last 2 years, 1 year, this year, God has done this in my life. Go ahead.
Praise God for taking my daughter when she was in Peru.
Protecting her. Yeah. That is great. Yeah, that's really great. Praise God. Exactly. Praise God. Isn't that worth praising God for? I'm sure if I'm a parent and I'm sending my kid to Peru, I'm like, uh-uh. I'm like canceling flights for them, you know. Yeah, I wouldn't do other things, but that would be a big stint of it. Okay, what else? Yeah.
My mom's in remission from cancer.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. Praise God for that, right? How fitting it is to praise God. Let's praise God. Come on. Yeah. Really great. All right, what else? Anyone else got anything? Is that right? Wow. Praise God, right? Praise God. How fitting it is to praise God. Come on. All right. Okay, so you guys have something, and you're going to need this, okay, because there's going to be some homework, all right? So make sure you write it down. All right, so point number two, reflect on the ordinary love you have in your life. That's what the psalmist wants us to do. The next thing, not just reflect on the things God's building up in our hearts, but just on his ordinary love in your life. And so verse 7, it says, sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to God on the harp. And this is the part I want you to pay attention to. He covers the skies with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. What does that mean? All right? I don't know about why the young ravens are involved. Why not the old ravens? You know, I don't know. So we sit in the midst of privilege every day. In fact, you're sitting in privilege right now, right? From the seats that you're sitting in right now that you didn't make, right? Unless you're Josh Sneed. And so the food that you will eat today that you did not grow, the ground that you'll walk on that you didn't make, the places you call home that is filled with air that's not your own, right? The clouds you'll sit under that will block the sun, right, on a sunny day, right, in the summertime, it's going to happen again, and there's going to be a cloud you're going to be sitting under, and you're like, oh, thank God, it's a cloud. It is so hot out here. And so the rain that waters the earth and takes care of every aspect of your life that you just don't even think about. You sit on a mound of other what other people have done, and at the same time, they sit on the mound in terms of privilege of what God has done. God is continually at work in ordinary ways in your life this year. And you got to think about that. Like, what has he done this year? Just ordinary stuff. The drink that you had this morning. Did you go to the river, right, and get a cup? And if you did, where'd you get the river from, you know? All right, you didn't come up with the river, you know? That was God. And so continually, that's where the psalmist is like, hey, look, if you have a hard time seeing how God has been growing you as a Christian, look at the ordinary ways in which he loves everybody all the time. And so what is something ordinary that you are thankful for? Something ordinary in your everyday life that you're thankful for? You know, one thing Melissa and I decided to do this year is that instead of trying to run to 2019 and, you know, be like, all right, what are we going to do? What are our resolutions going to be? I just was thinking about it. I think the Lord put on my heart. I was scrolling through my photos and just looking at over the past year and, you know, looking at taking my kids to the park and, you know, going to Chick-fil-A with them when it's Chick-fil-A free day, you know. And so I was like, God, thank you for this wonderful year. You know, there has been got your grace throughout the whole thing in ordinary ways. You took care of my family. You did these wonderful and amazing things every day. And so what's an ordinary thing that you're thankful for? So just take a second and write that down. We'll just take like 20 seconds. Is something ordinary that you're like, gosh, thank you for that, Lord. That is cool. So that's the ordinary thing. So think of something that he's doing in your life. You reflect on the spiritual in your life. Yeah, you got something ordinary? Yeah,
love, friendship, and bonding with the community.
Yeah, amen. Praise God for that, right? Let's praise God for that. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, friendship, how often we take that for granted? A good friend who can find, right? And God has provided those friends. You didn't make those friends, did you? You weren't like, I got to have a friend. You know, I'm going to call some Android company and get them to build me one. No, okay? God gave you those friends. What a wonderful thing. And we'll often pass it by for the next thing, or I hope in 2019 I do this, and just completely forget about all the wonderful things that God has been doing all year long. All right, so the next thing is, if it's still hard to praise God, maybe you're like, you know what, it's still hard to praise God, and maybe it's because you just became a Christian, and you feel like you know, you don't have as many friends anymore, or you feel sort of hopeless, or you just have this sense of apathy about you, like nothing really matters, like it doesn't matter that God takes care of everything because life feels meaningless, or it doesn't matter that God's growing all this, you know, spiritual development in my life and he's doing good things because life is just tough and cruel and brutal and short. Or maybe, you know, you had a hard year, you know, you lost somebody and you don't know how to deal with that and it's been really tough for you. And so these ways of praising God, I'm glad he's growing me in these ways, but it doesn't feel, I don't find myself bubbling up with praise. It's been a year, maybe a year of great loss, or it's been a financially difficult year. You feel like you're struggling from day to day to make ends meet. What do you do then? Well, the psalmist says for us to reflect up, right, on what God, on who God is. In Psalm 4, it goes like this. It says, reflect on this. He determines the numbers of the stars and calls them each by name. If we're going to have praise, we've got to reflect up as well. That he, God, determines the numbers of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power is he. His understanding has no limits. Right? What does this mean? Well, you know, scientists cannot count the number of stars in the sky. They really just can't. So they've tried, but it's too vast. There's too much of a universe to count. And what the Bible says is God determined their number, and he knows them each by name. He knows all of them. Think about it this way. There is more stars in the universe. Scientists know this. There's at least this. More stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on Earth. Next time you go to the beach, scoop up a hand of sand, right? And then look at it. That's a lot of stars, okay? Like, and then you're saying everything, yes. According to scientists, that's how wide and big this universe is now. In comparison to God, how does that measure up? In comparison to God, the whole universe is but a drop of water on his hand. And what is amazing about this passage, and really about the scriptures at all, is that somebody who the universe is that small looks down in it and looks favorably on you and me in a really special way. He doesn't just say, I know the names of the people on earth. He's like, I want to be in closest relationship with them. And Carl Sagan, who's a famous, was an astrophysicist, I think, he said, you know, we're just a pale blue dot. You know, why would God ever care about us? We don't bring any significance to him. And that's precisely the point. And that's true love. And God has true love with us because we have nothing to offer him. We are a speck of a speck of a speck on a speck, right? And God looks down at that and says, I love you just because. You don't bring anything to the table. I know that, but I have decided to love you. I've decided to look at you and say, I want to be yours and I want you to be mine. And that's what he does with you. And the psalmist says, I know, you know, life gets tough. I mean, the psalmist, you talk about tough life. This is a time when, like, you know, people dying, having babies was like super high, and having children that all lived was very, very like unrealistic. And this person's saying, that can be crushing. That can be soul crushing, the tough parts of life. But look up into who loves you, who is outside of all eternity. Look into the face of Christ, right? And then as you do, as you look into who God is, who loves you, even this life, 5, 10, 30, 60, 90 years, becomes small in the grand scheme of who he is and what he says about you and the relationship that he wants to have about you. So if it's tough for you, reflect up into who he is. Does that make sense? Good? Okay, amen. So let praise fill your life. So life is short, brutish, and can be tough, but he considers you. So with that said, reflecting back on the things that he's done, reflecting on the ordinary things he's doing in your life, and reflecting on who he is that cares about you, let that tidal wave of praise carry you into 2019. And why I had you write some stuff down is because when that New Year's Eve song comes on, somebody give me the tune. Odd Long Sign is what I looked up. I couldn't figure out a better way to pronounce it. But you guys know that. It says, should old acquaintance be forgot and never thought upon. Listen to the song. It's trying to get you. This is written like in the late 1600s. And so it says, should old acquaintance be forgot and never thought upon. So it's saying, look, don't rush to 2019. Think back to what God has been doing, what things have been going on. Think about your old acquaintances, right? And then it says, the flames of love extinguished and fully past and gone? Is thy sweet heart now grown so cold, that loving breast of thine, that thou can never once reflect on times long ago? And that's what we often do. We rush into the next thing, or we're apathetic about the past, and we don't think about what we need to, which is being thankful for the things that God has done, and leaving 2018 on praise. So when that song comes on, that's your chance to once reflect on things that God has done. That's your chance. As soon as you hear that, look back at that list. God, thank you for this. Thank you for what you've done in my life, how you've grown me spiritually. Thank you for the ordinary love you have in my life. And thank you for how great you are and you care for me into eternity. That's your chance. Isn't that great? So do that. As that song pops on, be thinking and thanking the Lord. And roll into 2019 with praise, real, the right emotions as you think. And if you're having a hard time with your emotions, tell your emotions those three things. All right, good? Now, what do we do with 2019? Okay, this is shorter. 2019, the next verse tells us, his delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor is his delight, God's delight, in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. God's hope for you in 2018 is that you, your resolution, you know what you should be? It should be his delight. How can I be pleasing to the Lord? That should be your New Year's resolution. More, that should be top your list. How can I be pleasing to the Lord? You know you can cause God delight? The God who's looking at that drop of water, so to speak, on his hand, you can cause him more delight. That's incredible. How could you cause him more delight? But he has said that. He says, you can cause me more delight. In the same way, when a father is delighted when his children are flourishing, you can cause him more joy when you're flourishing. When your life is filled with more peace and more joy. When your life is filled with more eternal life. So how do we fill our lives with more life and cause God delight? He tells us right here. He says, put your hope in my unfailing love. It doesn't say in 2019, put your hope in God. And that's it. It says, put your hope in God's unfailing love. Because if you put your hope in God, you can say, I hope God gives me my dreams this year. I hope God makes all these great things happen in my life. I hope he gives me the desires of my heart. And it says, no. Don't put your hope in God doing something for you. Put your hope, your anchor, into God's unfailing love for you. In 2019, we need to put our hope, not in what God gives us and our dreams of our heart, but we need to put our hope in the anchor of his unfailing love. This causes God delight. Why? Because it's the only thing that will bring his children, you and me, true joy. He knows every other love will fail. Every other love will fail. Diet plans won't love you, you know? Sorry. Neither will like a big savings account at the end of the year. All these things will fail you in one way or another. Either, if you're like me, you don't hold resolutions well, you'll just quit, okay? Or you'll do the resolution and you'll find it to be unsatisfying. You'll find it to not actually give you what your heart is after. And so God's unfailing love is what you should anchor your soul into this year. It's the resolution that is not on the horizon, that is not an aim for you, but it's the anchor. So, you know, Hebrews says that Christ is the hope. He's our anchor, the anchor of our soul. He's the hope of our soul. And we're supposed to be anchored to him so that we don't try to go somewhere else, but we look down into what we have. It's not about, the hope of God is not about getting somewhere else. It's about actually enjoying what you already have and plumbing the depths of that. You know, God's unfailing love, if you put your hope on that this year, that I want to go deeper into God's unfailing love, then what will happen is you'll find it's much bigger on the inside. See, some of us in here, it says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, right? And some of us think that, oh, I'll give me the deep stuff, right? Give me the strong stuff. I want the deep things of God. There's nothing more deep, according to the scriptures, according to Paul, according to Jesus, than God's unfailing love found in the gospel. You know, Paul, if you look over and over again, why does he get so excited about Jesus? He keeps talking about salvation like it's this big, huge thing. Like, I write to you, those who have salvation, those who are of the Father, those who are sons and daughters. And then we say, yeah, we know that, but like, how do we move mountains with our faith? You want those things, but you are missing his unfailing love, which is the greatest of things. And those will never amount to true growth and maturity in your life in 2019. What will is plumbing the depths of his love for you. And when you do that, it causes right orthopathy, right emotion, and brings life to those around you. And in that way, you're actually being a mature Christian as you look into the simple door of the gospel over and over again, and you get inside of it, and it's way bigger on the inside than it looks on the outside. And that's where you should put your hope this year, anchored into that, not going somewhere else, but plumbing the depths of what you have. Now, what does this look like, the hope in Christ? Well, a coworker, you know, I'll give you one example. So you'll have a chance to probably gossip this year, right? Anybody ever done that? Okay, you'll probably have a chance. At some point, it's coming, right? And there's different ways to do it. Christians do it subtly. You know, what you do is you say something negative, then you put something positive on the end of it. All right, and so, but there's going to be a chance to do that with coworkers, with friends, with other Christians sometimes. And so what's going to happen when you do that is you can say, nope, my hope is anchored in Christ. It's not in this person's approval and what they think of me to try to win them over and agree with them and have a nice conversation. As soon as they bring up something like that, my hope is in Christ and what he thinks of me. And he looks into the speck of the speck of the speck and he says, I love my son or daughter and he approves of me. And his love over me, his approval of me is more than enough. And I can rest. I don't have to engage in that. And what happens when you do that, when you don't gossip, when you have a chance to? There's life on the back end, isn't there? Because you've got your hope in the right thing. But when you do gossip, there's two things that happen. Either you walk away, you're feeling, I shouldn't have done that. Or you convince yourself that you did the right thing. that I, you know, I didn't really say much. You know, I was kind. I've heard other people gossip, that kind of thing. And that's no way to live either. And that won't bring you life either. If you want to, in 2019, have a resolution, make it the delight of the Lord. And he's like, my delight is if you would have the fruits of the Spirit, you would walk in life. And the way you do that is to have your hope, your major hope of your life, not in a dream or a job or, you know, some kind of relationship goals, but in my unfailing love for you. And what you're going to have to do in 2019 is you're going to have to remind yourself of that over and over and over again. And so how do you do this? Well, you got to look into his unfailing love in 2019. If you're going to be able to, when you're in a situation where there's a chance to gossip and actually remember his unfailing love, you've got to reflect upon, you've got to soak in what his unfailing love is for you again and again. And this is why there's so much in the gospel and so much in why you need to anchor your hope in his unfailing love. So when you look into this is how you look into his unfailing love in 2019. You know, we've been talking about Emmanuel, the hopes. You know, there's that song, one of the Christmas songs we sing, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight, right? And so, and we've been singing about that, and Emmanuel means, you know, God is with us, and that means he's come, and he's taken our nature, he's come into our sorrow, into our life work, into our punishment, he's taken our grave for us, right? He's taken our punishment for us, but he's not just with us, we are now with him. We are in his resurrection, his ascension, and his triumph right now. That's where you are. You're seated in those heavenly places where God's looking at that drop of water, so to speak, on his hand that contains the whole universe, right? That's just an image, but that's what it's like. And you're seated in that place. And why are you seated in that place? And why can you be assured that you're seated in that place? Well, because as we know, God became man. And when Jesus was born, right, Mary held him at some point, right? And, you know, when you have a kid, one of the things that babies do is they'll always grab on to like your thumb, right? And you can feel like their little soft hand grab around your thumb, and they'll hold on. It takes their whole hand to hold on to like your thumb, right? And you think about God the Son willingly came and willingly had bones in those little hands and tendons and muscles and nerve endings so that he could come. He was born to die so that he could go to the cross and die for you. And you look up on the cross, and the nails, you see the nails through his hand. But that's not what's holding him there. What's holding him there on the cross is his unfailing love for you. That's what's holding him there. And when you look into that, then that produces great praise. For who am I that you would die, that you would come and truly suffer for me? And so as we go into 2019, that's what we have to look forward to. The one that loves us like that is with us now. And we can be sure that he's going to cause life to grow. He's going to continue to love us in ordinary ways and extraordinary ways, and that he loves you. And that's why you should spend the rest of 2019 focused on that and not on all this other stuff. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much this morning that you love us, that you care for us, that you, God, came to die for us, that you love us that much. That's how unfailing your love is. And that's ultimately what held you there for each one of us. You took the punishment we deserve so we can get the love and the glory and the life, the ascension, the resurrection, and the triumph that only you deserved. And we can be assured of it now. Let our hearts be filled with praise this morning. Let our emotions be in the right place as a result, God. Strike our hearts, those of us whose hearts have grown cold to your unfailing love. Warm them up this morning. Let us not go into 2019 with cold hearts towards the things of God, towards your unfailing love, to the thing that the angels long to look in. God, let us humble ourselves and see the greatness of a God who condescends to come to us and to die for us. to be born, to die for us. So God, help us with that this morning. Help us see that and help us experience the love that comes as a result of that. In Jesus' name, amen.